I will move slowly. If I seem a little sore up here, it's because I moved bales of hay. I haven't done that in a long time. In fact, I was never meant to do that. I married into a family of a bunch of hay people. All of Myrna's family were a bunch of hay people. Hay. Bless you, brother. Does he make a good altar boy? And I'll hide it right here. Just don't let me forget where I put it. So they took me out and they say, hey, it's time for you to learn what the family business is all about. So they said, you will go do a manger job. Well, manger job is the easiest job there is when you're hauling hay, right? How many hay haulers we got out there? Absolutely none. The manger job, you just drop it off the truck. You roll it off the truck, and the little cow people, or the cows are right there. Cow people, whatever. They're right there. You can tell I'm a farmer. They're right there, and oh, my goodness, I hurt for days after that. But it's okay. Feeding cows, it's almost as bad as having a smartphone that's dumb. How many of you have a smartphone? Yeah. My smartphone's on the front row right there. It's a flip phone. How many have a flip phone still? Anybody? Oh, yes. Flip phone. Yes, sir. Well, I had a smartphone, but it was dumb. And it fell out of my hand and broke. And so I had to switch to a flip phone. So the next 3 or 4 days, if you try to call the pastor, my phone is ringing. But if I answer and say, who is this, please? It's because your name or picture isn't popping up, normal. And if you ask me to call you, I can't. Because I have none of your numbers saved in this phone. So you call me and we'll be just fine. Well, next week, and hold the applause, next week I won't be here and we'll have a guest pastor. His name is Josh Jorgensen, our pastor from Atwater, California, just down the freeway. He and I are swapping churches for the Sunday, or at least pulpits, and I hope that you'll come and support him. Great young man, great preacher. You'll enjoy it, and it'll be a blessing for you, and then I'll be down there preaching in Atwater, and hopefully I'll enjoy it down there as well. Every year in the month of November, all the churches on our zone, the pastors swap the pulpits. And so this gives you a chance to get to know some of the other pastors in the area. And so Josh Jorgensen will be with us next Sunday morning. Well, elections are coming. How many know that? I hope you've voted. You've prepared yourself. You're ready to do that. And in order to prepare for elections as Christians, I'm not up here to tell you who to vote for, why, or how, but I will tell you that as a Christian, you are responsible to go out and practice the blessing that you have to vote. And so I hope that you prepare to do that. Now, the best way to go vote is how? The best way to go vote is in the wisdom of God. The best way to prepare for that is prayer. So next Monday night, a week from tomorrow night, we will be together here at 7:00. If you want to come and pray and just ask for God's anointing and blessing on our national elections the next day, we invite you to come. We've invited the other churches in the community, and we'll be doing that next Monday night, from 7 to 8. All right. Well, now I'm ready. I'm warmed up. I've had my drink of water. And we've been talking about extravagant generosity, the heart of living. That's what it really means for us to live as people of God. How many of you ever went to school? All right. How many of you, the favorite part of school, and I could go to Facebook and make a few comments on this. How many, your best part of school was your test days? No. Well, I have to tell you that school, have I ever told you school was a challenge for me? I have shared that with you. I did graduate in the top 10% of the lower one third, but. And then I got married and everything changed and now I'm just an incredible student. I hated tests. I just have to tell you, I just don't like tests. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I would go into my high school, one of my classes, and especially I had this one class, check it out. I graduated high school with pre-algebra. And some of you, I think, have had pre-algebra before you get out of kindergarten. But back in the day, that's all we had to do. But I remember going into that class so many times, and everybody would be sitting there looking over stuff, and I would walk in, I go, hey, what's going on? Hey, you ready? I'm ready for what? Hey, it's test. I said, oh, who? No one told me. Are you ready? No, I'm not. I don't know about you, but that's kind of how that, in fact, if you've ever used Cliff Notes, I used to read the one just below that. Okay, Cliff Notes was a short version. I read the even shorter version of it in preparing for tests. Didn't like tests. And so I have to tell you this morning, as we continue in this journey on this incredible, extravagant generosity, the lifestyle that God has called us to, I have to tell you that every time you get paid, you take a test. Every single time you receive a paycheck, you take a test. Now, I want to take a poll. It's election time. Everybody's taking polls. And so I'm going to take a poll. Are you ready? All right, all of you that are voting for, no. How many of you get paid every week? Raise your hand. You get paid every week. All right. Okay, how many of you get paid twice a month or every other week? Raise your hand. That's usually the majority. How many of you get paid only once a month? You got to make it stretch, don't you? Like that. All right. How many of you never get paid? I'm sorry about that, but hey, listen, I just want to tell you right now, I'm talking about money all hour. Well, not a whole hour, but this worship hour together. Each time we get paid, we take a test. And what is the test that we take? The test is simply this: whom will I be thankful to for what I have received? What am I going to do with the first fruits of every check that I have? And contrary to popular belief and opinion, can I just tell you that Visa, Sears, MasterCard, JCPenney, Kohl's, and all the rest of them do not have the power to bless you. Only God has the power to bless you. Let's stand, shall we? We're going to go to Malachi chapter 3. And you knew I was going to read this scripture. Oh, but I got some surprises for you this morning. Malachi chapter 3, probably one of the greatest statements in the Bible, and I am so glad it's there. The first statement that he makes here in verse 6, I am the Lord and I do not change. Aren't you glad that God is consistent this morning? Hallelujah. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. I love that statement. We can go on. I'm sorry. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. I don't know about you, but could you imagine God just dialing you up and saying, hey, bro, you cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open, this is great, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will open the windows of heaven for you. And I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Now I want you to remember that statement here in the book of Malachi. Try it. Put me to the test, says God. Heavenly Father, pray now the blessing on the reading of your word. Again, Lord, this is your truth, not ours. And we leave it to you here, Lord. Challenge us today, we pray in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. For I am the Lord your God, and I do not change. It's very clear by the statement that God makes that he doesn't change, and God does not change between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He says, he went on to say that during those days that the fathers of Jacob had gone away from his ordinances. And I want you to kind of remember that term as well, as we'll come back to that word ordinances later this morning. He said, you've gone away from those teachings. You've gone away from the things that I've asked of you. He said, return to me and I'll return to you. This was a time when Israel, when the children of God were in a kind of an empty place, if you will. You know, this is kind of this sentence, if you will, return to me and I'll return to you. It's kind of a theme throughout this whole book that we're looking at, says the Lord of hosts. I want you to just notice that, because I want you to know that God is the one that's speaking here. No pastor wrote this. No minister wrote this. No church board wrote this. This is God's word. God was speaking, all right? God's talking. How many of you, when you were growing up, your parents said, listen to me when I'm talking to you? Nobody else had that problem except Pastor Nick. Still does. Listen to me. God is speaking. And he says, if you'll come back to my ordinance, if you come back to my plan, I'll return to you. God doesn't change. And then they come off with this, or God comes off with this great question. And we use the word cheat in our in the New Living Translation. Some of your Bibles use the word rob, as in thievery, if you will. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Now look at, with me just for a second, and let me just ask you, I just need to get this out. How many of you would stand right now and say, I would rob God if I had the opportunity? Don't worry, the ceilings are not metal. You're going to be all right. You would steal from God if you had the opportunity. I don't think I would. In fact, you would all look at me and say, absolutely not. But God told them, you've robbed me. Now, interesting their response, isn't it? Oh, really? How have we robbed you? In what way have we stolen from you? In what way have we cheated you? And here's God's answer, very plain and simple. He says, in tithes and offerings. And he said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. We'll come back to that. He said, this whole nation is under a curse. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, the storehouse in the Old Testament refers to the local church. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house for everyone. Okay? And so into the church. And then he says, try me. Now, we also know that in the original language, it can be translated, test me, says the Lord of hosts. Guys, listen. God, in this scripture, is asking us to test him. How many of you have ever wanted to test God and get away with it and live to talk about it? Notice, again, who is speaking? God. And then he says that wonderful promise. He says, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out an incredible, amazing, full blessing. What a promise this morning. He said, and he goes on. If we went further on, he says, I will rebuke and devour for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor will the vine fail to bear fruit in your field, says the Lord of hosts. Not only he said, I'm going to pour it out, but he said, I'm going to take care of you as well. This is God speaking, church. I want to remind you again, this is God speaking, and he is the God that doesn't change. Never has, never will. Now we come back to that word ordinance that we spoke of earlier. The term, if you will, ordinance means a principle of ordinary behavior. In other words, something that is a usual behavior, an established rite or ceremony, if you will. In other words, it's ordinary for the people of God to thank God for their harvest, for their, if you will, for their income. The blessings that come to their life in monetarily. It's ordinary for the people of God to thank God for what he has allowed them to make and to earn. It's ordinary for the people of God to recognize God's plan even in a time of recession. Can I tell you something this morning? God is not a God of recession, okay? God doesn't even have any idea what recession means, if you will, so to speak. He says God doesn't change. Why? Listen, even in recession, who's our source? God. Absolutely. And He doesn't change. It's amazingly simple as I look at this. Here's what it says. It says, if I give God what He has asked of me, if I follow His ordinance in my giving of my tithe, I will be blessed. If I don't, I will be cursed. Now, he doesn't say, I will curse you. He said, you will be cursed. Guys, listen, God has no desire for us to be cursed. He doesn't want us to be cursed. What He says is, when we don't follow His ordinances, we are voluntarily placing ourselves under a curse of disobedience. We live in an incredibly cursed world, and God is a God that redeems. God is a God of grace, and He redeems, and He wants to redeem our world. He wants to redeem us from the curse, if you will, of our world. And He wants to redeem us from the curse of sin. And yes, He even wants to redeem in the area of our finances. But it takes cooperation on our part. Our cooperation is to do what? Follow His ordinance. And His ordinance is what? To give 10%, the first fruits of our labor. Bring a tithe, 10%. Malachi is all about returning to God. Chapter 1 is about returning to God in our faith. Chapter 2 is about returning to God within our family. Chapter 3, where we are this morning, is about returning to God in our finances. And then chapter 4, you ought to read it, it's about God returning to us. So here's the question for us. Are we going to believe that God's word works? It's that simple this morning. Do you realize that 90%, when we give God His 10, that the 90% that we have left, God's blessing can go farther than if we had the full 100? That's just kingdom mathematics. It really is. It's a test to our faith. It really is. When we're in a difficult time, anybody have that same issue that Myrna and I have had off and on through our whole lives? There's more month left than there is paycheck. And Myrna called me the other day and she said, hey, I'll get some more dog food and get it. I said, no, let's wait till next week. Yeah, let's not drain the whole thing. Let's just wait till next week if we can. We're all there, aren't we? I mean, most of us live in that kind of paycheck to paycheck mode. And when we're in difficult time, it's really easy for us to say, but Pastor, I can't let go of a dime of what I make because I'm not making it right now. Yes, because you've chosen to live under the curse. By not obeying, you've chosen to live under the curse. And I want to make something really, really plain today. Because it gets quiet, people's frowns kind of come on their face during these sermons. I'm not preaching this because that's what pastors are supposed to do. I'm not preaching this because Connecting Point is going through some financial tightness, if we would say it that way. You know what it is. It's in the bulletin every month. Every week, we report to you what goes on. But that's not why we're here this morning. You see, this is not about amount of money. It's all about obedience in our life. God can do more. God can help us to do more with 90% than we can with 100. But the problem is we get stuck. We get stuck thinking, I can't afford to tithe. There was this guy, He was making about $1,000 a week. It's not bad. He was tithing $100, man, every week. And then pretty soon he was making $2,000 a week. And he's paying the $200 a week. And pretty soon he's making $10,000 a week. I don't know what he was doing. And And he went, and this is a true story, he went to the pastor of his church and he said, "Pastor, I'm just struggling. I need you to pray for me." He said, "When I was making $1,000 a week, it was so easy to give God 100, but now I'm making $10,000 a week and it's so difficult to give God that 10%. And the pastor immediately went to prayer and said, "Oh God, take it all back to $1,000 a week." Can I tell you something? I hope God blesses you financially. I really do. Whatever that means. But more than that, I hope that you get to the place where you realize it's all His anyway. And you're simply the steward. And if you choose to live with the whole 100%, God will let you do it. But it'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. Well, and I don't know why God chose 10%. I think I might have an idea, but I'm not sure I can prove it. But I think I know why God chose 10%. Because if I say, if I make $10 a week and you make $20,000 a week, the sacrifice is still the same. Because tithe and giving to God what belongs to Him is not about an amount of money. It's about obedience. And so if I'm giving 10% of my $10 a week, it's the same across the board. A penny out of every buck belongs to God. And He's very, very clear that we are to bring it into the storehouse. Okay, and we'll talk about that just a little bit more. But I think He chose 10% because it's the same for all of us. And, you know, I was thinking about this 10% and the 10 in the Bible, and I looked up some stuff. Man, Google is fabulous. I just looked up 10 in Scripture, the word 10. And I found that many times whenever it was working with 10, it was about testing. And here's what I found. Here's a few examples, and I want you to see if you can answer these questions, okay? So just shout it out. When I ask the question, just shout it out, okay? And if you're wrong, we won't even acknowledge you. Okay. How many plagues were there in Egypt? Or you could say, how many times did God test Pharaoh? This guys are going over here. You guys are kind of hunting. Okay, here's another question. How many times did God, you may not know this, how many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? Good. You're getting it. And here's another one I found. Jacob's, his wages changed. You know how many times his wages changed? Wow, you guys are sharp. Hey, how about Daniel? I'm reading a new book about the Daniel prayer. I'm excited. This is a great book. And do you know how many days Daniel was tested? Oh, good. You're catching on. I'm catching on. Hey, Matthew 25. It was the blank foolish or the blank virgins. How many virgins? There you go. You're getting it. How many days of testing is talked about in the book of Revelation? Amen. How many disciples were there? 12. That's right. I was just testing you. That's all I'm saying. Hey, listen. Tithing is a test. All right? Whether we like it or not. God is testing my heart. That's what He's testing. God is testing my heart. Here's the amazing thing about this passage. It is the only, and you've heard this, I don't know how many times, but it's worth repeating. It is the only place in Scripture where God Himself says, "Test me. Test me. And see if I will not be faithful to my word." Folks, it's a money-back guarantee. Test me and see if I will not be faithful. I want to clear something up, though, real quick. I've had people tell me, "Well, how can I be under a curse? Because Jesus bore all the curse on the cross, if you will. And I'm a follower of Christ, so since He bore it on the cross in the New Testament, how could I ever be under a curse for something that's in the Old Testament?" Well, let me ask you something about that. What is a curse? A curse is simply a consequence of our behavior. That's what it is. All right? So we're saying that as a believer, you can live life, if you will, any way you want and not suffer the consequences. That's just crazy thinking. Amen. Well, you people say, "Well, He bore the curse, so I could never be a curse." He bore our sin on the cross as well. 1 Peter 2:24 says it this way. We're not perfect when we become believers, but what happens, we appropriate, if you will, by faith that what Christ did on the cross can forgive my sins. And if I repent and turn from that sin, then I will be healed. And it's still true today. But if we continue to walk in sin, if I continue to walk in a way that I know is contrary to God's ordinance, there will be consequences. Other arguments that people say that this tithing was under the law, and I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. I'm in the New Testament. Okay, I really don't understand that one either. So are you saying that if it was wrong under the law, it's now okay for us as believers? The law says thou shalt not kill. That doesn't work. There's consequences to that. Law says thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you think if we go out and commit adultery, there's no consequences? Yes, we're believers. Yes, we can be forgiven of our sin, but there are consequences according to the way that we choose to live our lives. We live in a culture that has simply tried to escape consequences. Do you realize that? Whatever your, and let me just give you just a bless your heart. Whatever your issues today, it's not your fault. In fact, you can look at your neighbor, it's probably theirs. It's not my fault. I'm not responsible. Yes, we are. We're responsible for those choices. Just take this, Nick. Well, Pastor Nick is seated here all by himself in front. What if I began to tell you some lies, some juicy lies about him? Okay? But wait a minute. You see, I can tell lies because as a believer, it's under the blood. I'm under grace. Doesn't work, does it? Just doesn't work. Brother Randy, you're sitting way too close today. He usually says, can I have your wallet? Did you and I have any agreement before the service began? Okay, good. Cards are probably maxed out, so get the cash. You got a problem with that? Let me have your wallet. Oh, mine's not with me. Kind of hard to tithe, you don't bring your wallet. Anybody want to go to lunch? It's on Randy today. What's wrong with that? What's wrong? The Bible says thou shalt not steal, but I didn't steal. I'm a believer. I'm in the New Testament. I'm under grace. And so the law really has no place in my life. Amen? So I can live like I choose to live. The reality of it is that's wrong thinking. My dad used to call it stinking thinking. But that's exactly how we live with our finances. All of a sudden, it's a little bit different, you know. A little bit different interpretation there. Oh, these stairs do well when you're sore. Okay, so tithing's a test. Well, tithing is something else, too. As I've been talking to you, it's very biblical. All right? This is not something that the church thought up. I think many folks, if you will, don't tithe because they think, well, it's really not biblical. They think it's only in Scripture and the Bible one time here in Malachi. But can I share with you just a few more Scriptures? Genesis 14, 18 to 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out the bread, the wine, and he was the priest of the God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, the Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he, that's Abraham, gave him, that's Melchizedek, a tithe of it all. That's about 500 years, by the way, before the Ten Commandments. before the law. Genesis 28:22. This is Jacob. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. Again, the implication there is the storehouse, God's house. And all of all that you give me, I will surely give you, give a tenth to you. This is about 400 years before the law. And so we find it all through Scripture, folks, God's plan for tithing. Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithe of the land, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed or land or fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Do you know what it is to be holy? It means to be what? Set apart. So if I insist on keeping all 100% of my income, I have taken that which God said was holy. And I've taken it. Well, that's all Old Testament. Aren't you glad that Jesus never taught to tithe? Amen. How many of you, if Jesus would have said, thou shalt tithe, you would do it? No problem. Don't raise your hands. I don't want you to. Well, as a matter of fact, I found a piece of scripture I want to share with you. It'll be on the screen. It's found in Matthew 23:23. And Jesus was teaching. He was talking to the Pharisees and, well, the hypocrites. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of the religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are careful, listen, Jesus speaking, you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. So what was happening is they were tithing from their herb garden, but they didn't mess with the idea of justice, mercy, and faith. So Jesus said to them, you should tithe, yes, but not neglect the more important things. He said, yeah, justice, mercy, and faith are vitally important. But he said, don't stop doing the other things either. Jesus, that's his word, if you will. That's what he said. You give tithes of everything, even the small stuff. You give a tithe of everything, but you're neglecting the larger things. He says, get back, do those larger things, but don't forsake doing what you've been doing either. Jesus said you should tithe, yes. He didn't say now you don't need to tithe anymore because that was Old Testament. No. God said, you're robbing me and you're under a curse. You may not believe this morning. But the last thing that I desire for any of my folks who follow under my teaching is for you to live cursed. That's why I share this with you this morning. I was so excited when I woke up that I get to talk to you about this morning. Jesus didn't say, you don't have to do those things anymore. You ought to do that. Don't leave. He says, do it all. Don't leave the stuff undone before. Take care of it. So tithing's a test. Tithing is biblical, and I save the best for last. Tithing is a blessing. 2 Chronicles 31. It'll be on the screen for you. Just 6 or 7 verses. In addition, he required the people in Jerusalem to bring a portion of their goods to the priests and the Levites so they could devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord. When the people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously by bringing the first share, the tithe, of their grain, new wine, olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produced. A tithe. The people who had moved to Judah from Israel and the people of Judah themselves brought in the tithes of their cattle, their sheep, their goats, and a tithe of the things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God. And they piled them up in great heaps. They began piling them up in late spring, and the heaps continued to grow until early autumn. When Hezekiah and his officials, who was king, when he came and saw these huge piles, they thanked the Lord and his people Israel. Where did all this come from? Hezekiah asked the priests and the Levites. And Azariah, the high priest, from the family of Zadok, replied, since the people began bringing their gifts to the Lord's temple, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare. The Lord has blessed his people, and all this is left over. What a great, great. King Hezekiah is like, he's reading the Bible one day, And he reads about tithing. He goes, okay, hold on a phone. And he calls all the people of the kingdom. He says, we will start tithing. Everybody's going to start tithing. All that I'm asking is we follow the biblical example of 10%. And this is what happened. They got so much stuff, they didn't know what to do with it. And the king, Hezekiah, even came to the Levites and the priests. And he said, hey, I have this concern. We got these huge heaps of stuff at the storehouse of God. I think the people have overdone it, and I'm kind of worried they're going hungry. And Levi said, no, king, you don't understand. They have plenty for themselves. This is what's left. Folks, that's the way God desires to work in our lives. Oh, church. Bring it into the storehouse. I think about this, and when we come to the house of God, what are we doing? We're receiving spiritual food, amen, hopefully, and we enjoy it. Now, don't clap. I want to ask you a question. Don't shake your head. Just think. Do you enjoy the food that God provides for you through your church? I'm going to be really blunt. A few weeks ago, you voted to keep me for 4 more years. Just remember that as soon as I say this. Somebody's paying for all of that. To provide life groups and children's ministries and youth ministries, Sunday school, women's Bible studies. Someone's giving so that the Word of God can go out. Now, I know for a fact that if we all go and meet at Mariachi's this afternoon, and you eat, how many of you are going to dine and dash? You don't know what dine and dash is. How many are you going to get up and leave without paying your bill? None of you would do that. You get a good meal, even a mediocre meal. You get any meal, you got to pay for it. I don't need to say anymore, do I? God has this system. And can I just tell you, it works. You see, Pastor, with Connecting Point and the need financially at Connecting Point, what are we going to do about it? I tell you what we're going to do about it. If every single person that considers Connecting Point their place of spiritual nourishment would obey God in the area of tithing, there would be more than enough resource to do anything and everything that God would ever call us to do. Can I get an amen? Besides Joe? You say, well, how can that be, Pastor? We have 175 or 80 people. We used to have over 200. How does that happen? I don't know, but it's kingdom economics. That's what I know. God said, I will provide out of my riches. But it does take our obedience. It does take our obedience. What a surprise that must have been for the king. It's absolutely incredible. Listen, I promise you, doing it God's way works. Period. There's a scripture that I think fits. It says, I've never seen what? The righteous forsaken or God's children begging bread. Can I just tell you, I know what it is to have to almost beg for bread. And some of you know that. Some of you have been there. Do you know how many ways you can cook wieners? I'm just saying. My wife could cook wieners all different kinds of ways. But the one I love the best is when she put them in the oven and turned the broiler on and they almost got black. Oh, yeah, look at you guys. Okay, we'll all go to Wiener Schnitzel for lunch. As a pastor, youth pastor, I came home one day and I've shared this with my guys in the Bible study. I came home one day and Myrna, I said, "What's for dinner?" And she said, "We got four wieners and some, I think they're ranch beans," because we never ate pork and beans, I think. But she cooked them and we sat down at our little table and Charity, and this is before the boys and Myrna and I. And so Myrna gave Charity, cut hers up, gave it to her, and Myrna took one, and then she gave me two. And I said, "No, that seems really unfair." So I cut mine in half, gave Myrna half, and so we argued about that for a while. But, you know, we've worked it out. Do you know what it is as a father, a provider, to sit at the table and all you have are four wieners and some beans? I felt about that high. If we just wouldn't have paid our tithe the day before, we would have had grocery money. And surely God doesn't expect me to cause my family to go hungry. But under the incredible blessing that my wife is, she was in control of the money. I have control now, guys, because she said I could. She paid the tithe. We sat down, and there was a knock at the door, and I got up from where we were eating, and I opened the door, and there was nobody there. And don't you hate ding-dong ditch when you're upset anyway? I was going to fix those neighbor kids in that apartment complex. And as I stepped out, I tripped over six bags of groceries sitting on my porch. And can I tell you, and this is the honest truth, not one person, not even our parents, knew our condition that day. Not one. But my God did. And I have to tell you guys that I believe that God was faithful to us then because we had been faithful to Him. And I will never find out if it works or not, because I will never stop being obedient in my giving. It works. Well, let me just tell you a couple of things as we close. You're never going to be able to afford to give God what belongs to Him. Can I tell you that? When you figure it at the end of the pencil, you will never be able to give what belongs to God. Let me tell you why. Because when we step into faith and we believe God and we give to Him what belongs to Him, guess what? The curse is broken. Try it. In fact, ushers, are we ready? I'm going to give you a money-back guarantee today and today only. If you will respond in the next 22 minutes. Guys, take a row. I want every person that's seated, I want you to take one. This is called our 90-day challenge. This is not a gimmick. This is not some kind of game. But I want you to know how serious I am with I believe God's word to be true. And so I'm going to invite you to take an incredible, exciting journey over the next 90 days. Wouldn't it be great if you only had to pay if the sermon was good? Bless you, brother. This is our 90-day challenge here at Connecting Point. It's 3 months. If you'd open it up with me for just a moment this morning, I'm going to ask every single person to respond to what I'm doing here. I know when pastors do this, a lot of times you just tear it and you lay it in the seat beside you, put it in your Bible and forget it. Well, we're going to pass the offering plates here in just a moment. The three-month challenge, if you open it up, it says, I understand my household qualifies for participation because we've not been tithing for the past 6 months. I understand I cannot seek a refund before the end of the three-month tithe challenge period. That I will not seek a refund for any contributions made prior to the beginning of my challenge. In other words, don't go back 6 years and come to me and say, this is what I've given over 20 years here at Connecting Point. I understand that any request for refund will be made to Connecting Point Church within 30 days of the end of the 90-day challenge. I'll pay my tithe by check or cash and identify it on an envelope so that it can be properly credited. And what I'm asking you to do this morning is to trust God. At the below the third portion there that's perforated, there are two boxes. The first box says, I would like to trust God's faithfulness by accepting the three-month tithe challenge. I agree that for the next 3 months, my household will contribute to God through Connecting Point Church, Nazarene Church, a tithe equal to 10% of our income. At the end of the three-month period, if I am not convinced of God's faithfulness to bless my life as a result of my obedience to His Word, then I will be entitled to a refund of the full amount of contribution made within that 90-day period. I understand the terms listed above. The second box says, I currently give to God through the church 10% of my income and have seen God's faithfulness in the area of my finances. I'm committed to continue to give tithe equal to 10% of my income. I do not need to participate in the three-month challenge. And don't mark that yet, because I do want to pray for us this morning. And I realize this morning, the reason I do this is I'm challenging every single one of us to step out into faith and believe God. And basically what we're saying to you this morning, and I've given this challenge for years in my ministry, I have yet to have one person come and ask for their money back. Can you tell me why that would be? Is it because it's such a great gimmick? No, it's because it's built on the truths of God's Word. And the first statement we read this morning was what? I am the Lord your God. I what? Do not change. And He is faithful all the time. So as we pray, I realize that this is a huge step for some. I realize that this is nerve-wracking. You say, Pastor, I don't have enough income by the end of the month. I'm telling you that God will supply your needs if you'll put Him first. That's what I'm telling you. As you live for Him in your life, fully committed to Him, and this area as well, God will bless your life. Oh, good, Pastor, then that means that in 90 days I'll be richer than I am now. No, that's not what I said. What I do tell you is that God will supply your needs according to His riches in glory. Let's pray, shall we? And then we're going to mark the paper. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just now come and be with us in this place. Father, there's probably some nervousness. Can I trust God? What if God doesn't come through? And Lord, those are all very real and very understandable, but Lord, we know that you're faithful to your word, you're faithful to your promises. And you are so overjoyed with the idea that you can show yourself faithful to every single one of us in this place. And so, Lord, now we ask that you would help us. Those of us that need to step out in faith, Father, I pray that you would guide our minds and our hearts. Father, for those who are faithful in their giving of their tithe, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless them and be with them. And Father, challenge those, we pray, Lord, that giving above and beyond as they trust you more and more. Again, Lord, we thank you and we bless you in thy precious name. I invite you to take the paper and just while the music plays, mark that. And if you would enclose your information and then fold it in half And then, ushers, if you would get the plates and prepare to collect, I would appreciate it this morning. So simply take your notice, rip it, sign it at the bottom. Fold it in half. This is just, if you want to fold it in thirds, that's fine too. This is between you and God. No one else. We'll give you just a moment. Man. Gentlemen, if you'll bring those plates down front once we've finished. Can I just tell you that I told you that today was about a test. And can I tell you something? God has never failed a test. He has perfect score on every test that's come His way. So we're going to just put these right here and we're going to pray. And then we're going to sing, and we're finished for this morning. And my prayer is that God will be with you, each one, as you take the challenge that is before us. Let's stand together, shall we? How many excited about what God's going to do in our lives? Amen? Bless the Lord. Heavenly Father, you see these offering plates here before us. And Lord, they're really here before you. And Lord, I know that in some of those papers, there are those who have, it's been very difficult, Lord, but they've taken that step of faith. And I pray right now that you would bless them. I pray, Heavenly Father, over these next 90 days, as they trust you like they've never trusted you before, that you will show yourself faithful as you have done from the very beginning of time. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We bless you and we praise you in thy precious name. Amen.
Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise you in the morning, praise you in the evening, praise you when I'm young and when I'm old. Praise when I'm laughing, praise when I'm grieving, praise for the season of the soul. If we could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise you. Go in peace. May the Lord bless you this week.